Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chof Zayin. So we had just discussed the machlokas about how to understand the Arba or Chamesh in the Mishnah. Does it mean 4 out of 5, and there's a maximum of 5 if you've got more than 5? Or does it just, as Shmuel Tainis Kedi Amri Inche, basically, take what you need to take, as long as you're not lo et haotzar. As long as you don't clear out the entire area, that would be going alib Rabbi Shimon. But if you learn it the first way that we learned it, then it would be going alib de Rabbi Yehuda, that an otzar you can't even begin, not that you can't finish. Tana Rabbana, ein matchilin ba'otzar techila, aval oseh bo shvil, kedei sheikanes v'yetze. You can't start taking out. So, I don't know, this seems to be going. If it says you can't take it out, then of course it's going to leave the Rabbi Yehuda, which was the first pshat that we said before. But then if that's the case, how can you make a shvil? Make a shvil means you're able to pick up the boxes and move them to the side? Oseh bo shvil? Didn't you just say ein matchilin? So how are you going to meet oseh bo shvil? Ochi kamar. Oseh bo shvil beraglav beniknisato. What it means is that you can move it kila achar yad. So if you're going in and out, you can kick the boxes to the side, push them to the side with your feet in order to be able to go in and out, because even alib Rabbi Yehuda, tilto min hatzad, would be mutter. By the way, there's a fascinating issue about tilto min hatzad that is brought out in this particular Gemara. And that is, what is the point of saying b'knisato b'yitziato? Because why would we, in fact, analyze the asiya shvil as being a function of when you walk in or walk out? I mean, couldn't the brayta just have said, aval mefanimoto, whatever, not mefanim, aval mezizimoto, shub kilach yad, or something like that? But why beknisato b'yitziato? I mean, you could just say, osibo shvil, baraglov. So because of this, there's a fascinating diuk that the Chazon Ish makes, which is that you're not allowed to just go ahead and move muktzah betiltu min hatzad as a matter of course. You can move muktzah min hatzad if you're doing something. So in other words, if it's part of another movement, okay, I'm walking into the room and I don't want the muktzah in my way, so push it. You know, take advantage of the movement to get the muktzah where you want to. But it doesn't mean like, oh, gee, I'd like to move something, so I'll pretend. Or not even pretend, but just go and move it, kelach or yad, which lemaisa in the Mishnah Berurah is matir. So this is a big issue among the later poskim. But it's based on literally these words, b'knisato b'yitziato. Tana Rabbana, tvua tzivura. Now, you piled up a bunch of tvua, which implies, if you piled it up, that you are not intending to use it right now. But this is something that is basically an otzar, even though you didn't put it into the otzar yet. But that's what your plan is. In the end, you're going to be putting it into an otzar. So, bezman sheitchil ba mi'erev Shabbat, if you started using it before Shabbos, then you're allowed to continue to use it after Shabbos begins. But if not, you're otzar to use it on Shabbos, divrei Rabbi Shimon, which is outrageous. There's no possible way that Rabbi Shimon could have said something like this, for God's sake. That was just what we said. That the whole point that Shmuel was making in his understanding of the Mishnah is that if you hold you're going alib to Rabbi Shimon, then there's no such thing as not being mafana and otzar. Why the heck would an otzar be muktzah just because you have to put it into the room and lock the door and you didn't begin it yet? So therefore it's muktzah? That would be muktzah that just happens by itself, which is exactly what Rabbi Shimon's machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda is. What did you do to be makatza it? And yet it says, Divrei Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Acha says, you are allowed to take it. Says, whoa, where are you going exactly? Clapping liar. How can you say that Rabbi Shimon would be the one who says that it's muktzah over here when that's Dafka, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Says, you're right. We must have gotten this backwards. What it should say is that it's Osir, Divrei Rabbi Acha, and Rabbi Shimon is Matir. Tana, Kama Shiur Tvua Tzvura. If we're talking about Tvua, okay, I mean, Tvua. We don't have these boxes that we had before. So now we're talking in terms of an amount. And before we were talking in terms of number of boxes, because we weren't talking about tefuah. So when you say that you have this pile, how big is the pile exactly? lesech. The pile is one lesech. Now, the question is how this relates to the boxes, which is fascinating, because lemaisa, a lesech, equals 15 sa. And anything less than that is not considered to be an otsa. Now, this may very well mean, and this is the way, remember, we spoke about this in the Mishnah, that the Bavli would be agreeing with the Yerushalmi that we're talking about over here. The four or five boxes, the shear of the kupais that were in the Mishnah, were actually three letech, and that's a standard large box, in which case it was being matir 15, equivalent to 15 letechs, and that would mean that we're simply giving you the shear that was the same, except that over here it's a pile of grain, and over there it was five boxes of things. But many taina that it's not true, and that this is particularly a din in the Tvua, because the pashtus in the Mishnah is that it's four or five that don't have a particular shear, and that the Bavli doesn't agree with the Yerushalmi, as many of the poskim taina. Anyway, Iboilu, the question is like this. Assuming that we really mean, this is how Rashi understands it, assuming that we really mean four or five, not like Shmuel. And when it said four or five, that was a max. So either four out of five or five out of more. So does that mean that this amount can be moved and no more boxes can be moved? Or like it doesn't matter how many boxes there are as long as it's this amount? I mean, like, what are we talking about? If we're talking about the number of boxes specifically, so then that would mean tircha is measured in not weight of boxes, it's measured in how many trips you're going to have to make in order to clear out the room. And that because the trips make a bigger fuss in the Shabbos, and it just is more of what the problem of tircha is. This is a major issue. Is tircha a function that we're answering over here? This is, remember, a whole brand new idea that we just found over here, really, for the first time in the Mishnah in this parak, and it's the main point of Mifanim. So how do we measure this tircha? Is the tircha in terms of the amount of physical pain that you've got, physical exertion that you've got at one particular time? Or is it the amount of activity? If it's the amount of activity, it's more a question of the spirit of Shabbos that's being disturbed, which is actually the way the Torah describes it, as opposed to something which has to do with your shvita and feeling relaxed personally on Shabbos and not putting out a lot of exertion. So that's the question. Is the number of containers the point? You can only move four or five containers, or is it the amount that's contained in those containers? But, you know, if you want to make an easier job for yourself and put what was in four or five boxes, you want to put it into 15 boxes, that's even better. Because that way you don't have to put out that much exertion and you'll make more trips. But, you know, it's not a problem for you. But if we learn that it means literally the number of boxes, so then that would be amal ma'uti bihiluch adif. The less you walk, the better off you are. So in other words, our main problem is we don't like you messing up the feeling of what's going on Shabbos. Or maybe the most important thing is to be mamayit the masri, to be mamayit the physical exertion that you are engaged in. Tashma? Well, we have a braita, we actually have two braita, and if you analyze them, then it would seem that this is exactly the issue between them. One braita says, mefanim afilu arba v'chamesh kupot. You could even clear out four or five kupot, that's like our Mishnah, containing, oh, lots of jugs of shemen and of yayin. And then another braita says, you can clear away even chamesh, 10 or chamesh esrei or 15. Well, what does that mean? I mean, assuming that means you take 10 or 15 boxes. So in other words, it seems to be that the first braita is telling me, no, you can only make a maximum of five trips. And the other braita says, you know, this is the content that you can take in more trips. So my labok amifuke, that the marsava, the first braita, is telling you that we want the fewest possible trips. And therefore, your maximum is the five trips. Masha'inkin marsava, the braita, the second braita, seems to hold that no, you should have less pain and a physical exertion at each trip that you make. And therefore, he's saying you can take these five big boxes and put them into 15 little boxes, right? And then that would be more kedai. Says the Gemara, no, you do not have to say that it's a machlo, because it may very well be that kuli alma mi ute behilucha adiv, that actually it's the way that it seemed. And that is that if you've got five boxes, then that's what you want. We want you to move and not more than that. But when you read the words 10 or 15, what did you think that meant? Did you think 10 or 15 meant that the second price was saying, no, it's not a matter of four or five boxes, it's a matter of 10 or 15 boxes? No, it wasn't referring to the boxes. It was referring to the number of kadei yayin or kadei shemen that had been mentioned in the other braita. And it's talking about the kadim themselves. How many of these kadim, how many of these pitchers are you allowed to put into these five boxes? So in which case, there's no contradiction at all. Because when we talked about in the first braisa, that you can move five boxes, there we're talking about that we've got these big, gigantic pitchers that are almost barrels, and they're so big you could only put them one into a box. So then you can take a maximum of five. If, when it talks about 10, the second braisa, that's talking about that you could put two in a box. And when it says 15, it's talking about you take three in a box. Are there such thing? Yes. The dikurei d'arpanya. You've got those small pitchers that they make in arpanya that actually fit three in our standard kupa. So that's all. There's no machlokas at all over here. Okay, fine. So let's assume that that's the case. So, but I'd like to know: are we talking about per person here, or are we talking about maximum per household? How does this work? You say, the Mishnah says if you have guests, so what does it mean? You have one guest, or you have 20 guests, or 100 guests, it doesn't matter. So, hani arba v'chamesh de ka'amar, is that afagav the itle orchim tuva, even if you got lots of guests? Or are we saying that, no, you can take per person, maybe it's dilma ha'kolafia orchim, so per additional person, you're allowed to take off the arba v'chamesh kupot. And let's assume that that's what it means for a minute, okay? And everything is defined by the number of people are there. Does that mean that one person can do this? Or does it mean that everybody has on their own, so to speak? In other words, a maximum. Because remember, if the issue over here is that we are concerned about the fact not only the problem of the disturbance of the whole Ruach of Shabbos, of people moving things all over the place, but there would also be, and perhaps only be, I mean, that was the question we had before, but there would certainly also be the problem of the individuals, forget to bring water, I did. Okay, there would also be the problem of the individual's exertion. So, I mean, when we're going to be matir a lot of stuff because you've got 10 orchim, so you're going to be able to take out, let's say, 30 boxes. So are those 30 boxes, are they meant to be taken out by one guy? I mean, that's a lot of work. What about if it's 300 boxes? I mean, if we're going to go according to the orchim, so then, like, are we just blanket saying, okay, it doesn't matter how much tircha you're involved in? Or is this actually taking into consideration the problem of each individual's maximum exertion, and therefore each person would have to clear away his own? I mean, obviously not personally his own, but in other words, every individual, whether it's the same guy that's going to be eating it or somebody's doing him a favor, but it means the number of boxes that an individual can carry out on Shabbos. So that's my next question. If we're assuming that the number of guests defined the number of boxes that ultimately you could take out, is it one guy that's mefani lekulo, or is it dilma gavra gavra mefani lenafshi? Is it every man for himself, so to speak? Well, tashma, the Amar Rabba Amar Rebbe Chiya, once Rebbe went to a particular place, and he was going to give a shir on Shabbos, and once again, seems Rebbe gets into these problems very often. So once again, he comes, and there's no room for all of the Talmidim that show up and so on. So he saw very dachuk. It was very cramped, the room. So he was yotzeh asada. He goes outside, and he finds a sada malei omarim. So he finds a field that's all filled with these bundles of grain. And he cleared it all away. Imer Rebbe Kol HaSadakula. Now, obviously, Imer in this case is one of the malachas of Shabbos. So we're quite certain that that's not what he did, right? So he would not be allowed to actually gather it up. So how exactly would you involve the Imur over here? It means that he didn't bundle it, which is the meaning of Imur. He didn't bundle it together. It means that he basically moved away all of the grain from its spot. So now there's a number of different issues that are involved over here. First of all, I mean, the Sada is normally a Carmelis, right? So you're not allowed to be metaltel. I mean, you're not allowed to be metaltel more than 4 amas in the Carmelis, and you're not allowed to do it, lechatchila, pokas mi arba amas, remember? Because we were gozer. We gave the Carmelis the chumras of Rishus Arabim in that sense. And in the same way that we answered, being metaltel lechatchila, pokas mi arba amas, unless you're talking about, you know, finding tefillin or what are the things that we were worried about that you were going to end up doing worse for, you know, you left your wallet, whatever. So all of those cases, we had special dinim. But why did Rebbe feel that it was mutter to carry more than arba amas in a carmelit, assuming it was a carmelit? And besides that, I mean, did he actually, when he moved this stuff away, did he move it all into one place? I mean, if he moved it all into one place, then that would be emor, right? So there's a number of different approaches. First of all, obviously, we could say that he didn't move it to one place. Good. Or there's another point. The other point is there's no din of emor if this stuff is not the not its sada. So then you're not really the stuff was already gathered, so you're not doing anything moving it to another place. And then as far as the question of carrying, this is an important nakuda. This important nakuda is called shvus de shvus, which is something that is kedai for you to write down. A shvut de shvut, this happens very often in halacha. A shvut de shvut is where you have two drabbanans, which only because of the fact that it was kula chode gezera ultimately, do we actually engage in such a thing. So let's consider for a moment. The issur of not carrying 4 amas at a time, a little bit less than 4 amas, that's obviously the rabbanan, even in Rishus Sarabim, right? Because as long as you don't do an akira and an hanacha with more than 4 amas in between, you didn't do an issur d'oraisa. So therefore, the rabbanan were gozer in order to avoid the problem of people actually ending up carrying in Rishus Sarabim if they're going to be able to carry in that way. Okay, that was shvus number one. Now, shvus number two is we took an area that was a perfectly kosher place to carry in, so it was really a mokum p'tur as far as the Torah is concerned, and we said, well, we're going to give it a din of a carmelit, and it's therefore going to be treated with the chumra of Rishus HaRabim. Now, come on. I mean, now, are we going to go all the way? We're going to also say, and since it's treated for Rishus HaRabim, and you can't carry more than 4 amas, you also shouldn't carry pachas mi arba amas. I mean, wouldn't that be like a gezera to a gezera? Because even if you do carry the 4 amas, you go out of the 4 amas, you're not really doing anything wrong mid oraisa, so why are we asking it? So basically, these are the type of gezeras that are inclusive gezeras. In other words, once we gave the din of a Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis, so it includes all of the dinim of the Rishus HaRabim. If in the Rishus HaRabim you don't carry pachas mi arba amas here too, you wouldn't carry pachas mi arba amas. However, in a rational parsing of the issues, it turns out that we are really adding two different issues together. An original shvus that was an Isra and a Rishus HaRabim, and then we're applying that shvus to another shvus. That's called a shvus l'shvus. And the halacha is that a shvus l'shvus is nitcha because of the tzarech of a mitzvah. So since over here Rebbe was clearing this out in order that the Talmidim should be able to learn Torah, it was considered to be an act of a mitzvah, and therefore it could be that he wasn't being makpid on a shvut l'shvut. Anyway, so Imer Rebbe Kol HaSada Kula, so he basically cleared out the entire thing, and I mean, we could say this, Shema Amin HaKol Afi Orchin, I mean, really, we'll see at the end of the discussion that it proves this. So it's not clear that these words belong here. But okay, there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, if Rebbe was taking the entire field, obviously it was more than 4 or 5. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Hoshaya, that, yeah, there was also Rabbi Chiya came to a place, and he saw that there wasn't enough room for his shir, the Yatzel HaSadam, Matzah Sadam Alei Omarim, and he did the same thing. Yimei Rabbi Chiya, Kol HaSala Kula, Shema Amin Ala Kol HaFiya Orchim. This is why I say there's no point in saying it earlier. Anyway, so both of these things show that it's certainly not going to be limited to four or five Omarim. We're talking about over here the whole Sada. So that means it goes per number of Orchim. Okay, that's fine, but you still have the second question. I mean, does it mean each man on his own, or does it mean that one person can do it for everybody? Well, I mean, read what it said. It said, Rebbe cleared the entire field, right? So you see that one person can do it. Oh, come on, you really think that, you think it means Rebbe personally did it? Like this was Rebbe's business to go out there and spend the day. I could just see it now, you know. I mean, that's not exactly what Rebbe would be doing. And at least that's how Rashi understands it. But so would he have done the whole thing himself? No, obviously he didn't do it himself. So it means he told people that this is what we need to do. I mean, we took charge of the situation. You know, it's always the superintendent who did the work, right? I mean, it's not the people. So anyway, but it could be, Li'olam kochad v'chad mifani l'nafshe. Okay, now, the next thing in the Mishnah says that you can, and this is beautiful, it says you're allowed to do this.
Rebbe, my l'David HaMelech. Rebbe can't go on without water, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, you let me talk for 3 hours straight on Shivasa B'Tammuz without any water, as far as I know. And
Onus al Piyadibur.
So this too is Onus al Piyadibur. I can't interrupt Shir for schlepping around getting drinks. I forgot to bring it. It happens. Okay. Anyway, so listen to how beautiful this is. So the Mishnah puts together being Mefaneh, which is Lamaisa, doing Tircha on Shabbos, which is inappropriate, either because of guests that came into the house or because you need it in order to have Malkum for the Talmidim, right? So says Rabbi Yochanan, you see from over here, from this Mishnah, an amazing thing, that Hachnosas Orchim is just as Choshev as Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash, because this is basically what we're doing over here. It says in the Mishnah, Mipnei Orchim, Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. He sees the same thing. Says Rav Dimi Narada, what do you mean the same thing? It's more important, because which thing came first in the Mishnah? The Orchim or the problem with having the comfort of the Talmidim? It says over here the Orchim first. So the Ketani Mipnei Orchim, and only afterwards does it say Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. Om Rav Yudam Rav Gedolach Nasat Orchim Agbalat Pnei Ashkinah. You should know that if you take a look in the story of Avram Avinu with the messengers that came to him, and you learn, as this explains, obviously you're going according to the Man Yomer who understands that the Vayomer, when we say Vayomer Adonai, Namatzati Chen Beinecha, the simple meaning of the word is he's speaking to the leader of the guests, right? And he's speaking to those people that are coming in, and not to God. But there's a machlokas, according to one man Yomar, this shame is Kodesh, as Rashi explains in Chumash, and that Avram Avinu is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was in the middle of the discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before, and now he says, could you please wait, because I have guests coming. What kind of business is that? You tell God to waste, excuse me, because I got a telephone call? That's unbelievable. So you see that that's exactly what Avram Avinu did. And he said, Vayomer, according to this, Vayomer Hashem, Imna matzati chen beinecha, al na ta'avor me'al avadecha, so please don't move away. I'm going to be busy for a few minutes. Can you hold on? Omer Rabbi Elazar borei shalol ki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'adam. Midas basar v'adam, you wouldn't, I mean, a cotton is not going to tell a person greater than you, wait, I'm busy, I'll come right back to you. Well, it's by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Vayomer Hashem, Imna matzati chen beinecha, and that's fine. Omer Rabbi Rabashilo, Omer Rabasi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. You should know that there are six things that a human being can do in this world where he's ochel, the peros of his mitzvah in this world, and he hasn't touched the actual schar of the mitzvah in Olam Haba. Va'keren kayemet lo la'olam haba. And these six things are hachnasat orchim, bikur cholim, iyun tefillah, which is to be aware when you're davening, and hashkamat beit hamidrash, and Amigadel Banav le Talmud Torah, and Bigdan et Chaviro le Kav Zechut. So, How could this be? I understand it's against the Mishnah. There's the Mishnah in Peah. I mean, we say it every day. Elu devarim shadam oseltam v'ochel porotem v'olam hazev v'karen kayemet v'olam abba. I mean, what is Rabbi Yochanan coming along to replace the Mishnah? In the Mishnah it says, kivet aveim v'gmilut chasadim v'avad shalom ben adam l'chaviro v'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, which, I mean, this is what it says. It's mashman. It's these things, four things, and not all these things. What? Where in the world does Rabbi Yochanan come off and argue on a Mishnah? That's unbelievable. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the point. Rabbi Yochanan was coming to give you the sense of how many other issues would be included in the things that are included in this Mishnah. So Hani Nami are included by Hani Shaychi, because listen, obviously, Hachnasas Orchid, or going to visit the ill. I mean, those are things that are certainly part of Gemilut Chasadim, right? And going to the Beis HaMedrash. I mean, that's part of Talmud Torah. We said Talmud Torah, raising your children to learn. That's part of Talmud Torah, right? And the question of being loymit schus on your friend. That's obviously going to bring shalom into the world. And tefillah, there's two possibilities of tefillah. Tefillah, some learn tefillah is considered to be havah shalom between humanity and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, I mean, Rashi says it's Gemilas Chasadim, because it says Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed. That's the idea of being Gomel Nafsho, and Nefesh is another word for Tefillah. That's the Shvichas HaNefesh, like Chana says to Eli. So that means that all of these things are basically included in those things. He doesn't say I'm replacing the things in the Mishnah. I'm saying expand some of the details that you may not have realized. All of these things would be part of that Mishnah. Once we brought up this idea of being Dan Chaveru Lekav Zechut, we have some amazing maisim about that issue. Tana Rabbana. Hadan Chaveru Lekav Zechut, Danim Oto Lezechut. So a person who is noeg this way with his friends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noeg this way with him. And it's amazing what a difficult thing it is to do. Right away, we become immediately judgmental, immediately have a feeling that, oh, this guy's done something wrong, whether it's wrong to me, whether it's wrong to HaKadosh Baruch, whatever it is, I have all the understanding all on my own. And here we'll tell you a maisa, you'll see how different it is than the way we act. There's a maisa ba'adam echad, shiarad megalila elyon, v'nizkar etzel bal abayit echad bidaron. So there was this guy, now here it just says this guy. L'maisa in the she'iltos it says this guy was Rabbi Akiva, okay? But it was Rabbi Akiva when he was still, before he had started learning, he was an Amoretz, and this guy who was the Palabayit was Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanis. And we're not talking about regular people over here, but okay. So anyways, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanis hires this kid who is Rabbi Akiva, turns out in the end, and he makes a deal with him. He's going to be working for him for 3 years. Okay, so he works his head off for 3 years for this guy, and this guy, comes Erev Yom Kippur after 3 years, and he says to the Balabayit, he says, listen, I want to go home before Yom Kippur and bring money to my wife or my kids. So the guy says to him, oh yeah, I'm so sorry, but I don't have any money. So the Sakhir says, okay, fine, I'll take it in produce. I'm sorry, I don't have any produce. And the Shultz points out that right in front of his eyes, he's like, this guy's got tons of money, he's got tons of produce. He's like, okay, so he says, I'm sorry, but I don't have any produce. Okay, he says, so fine, so pay me in land, you know, and I'll bring them the deed of sale that you give me, and you know, they can turn that into money after Yom Kippur. He says, I don't have any land. Okay, so maybe pay me with some animals. I'll take the animals. I don't have any. Okay, listen, how about just like pillows and blankets and stuff like that? I mean, could you pay me in that? I don't have any. Okay, so the poor guy puts his backpack on, schleps home, b'pachei nefesh, he's so sad. Here it's Yom Kippur, he's got nothing to bring his family after 3 years of work. Anyway, after Sukkot, this guy, the Balabayit, he takes the money in cash, and he brings along three giant loads on chamorim. One of them is full of food that he wanted to make a party. One of them was full of the best wines. Other one was full of all kinds of cakes and delicious treats. And he goes to this fellow. He goes to the Galila Elyon. He comes in and they make a big party. And Acher she'ochel v'shato v'natan lo secharo, after he pays him, and they make this party. So he says to the guy, so now I want to understand. When you asked me for money, right? And I said to you, I don't have any money. So, like, what was your reaction? What were you thinking? I figured probably you had made a commitment to buy a bunch of pragmatia that was very cheap. It was a chance to make a lot of money. And you bought it with the money that otherwise you would have had available. Okay, and then when you told me, okay, so give me animals. And I said, I don't have any animals. What were you thinking? Well, I said that maybe you had rented them out. Muskeret biyad achirim, I don't know. And when you told me to give land, and I told you, ein li karka, b'macha shadadani, I figured, he says, shema muskeret biyad achirimi, maybe you had made long-term leases on the land. And when I told you, I don't have any peirot, you see, I was full of peirot. What did you think then? Amarti shema einan mu'usarot. You couldn't give it to me because it wasn't meisered, and you held that I'm an amoret. You're not allowed to give it to me. No discussion. So why couldn't you have meisered it? A lot of different issues. Why couldn't meiser it? But right before Yom Kippur, he had a normal guy that he would give it to, and it was makireku and avlovia, and the people weren't available. He didn't want to have things that were usher to eat in his home. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. Exactly the details of why needing meiser couldn't have been dealt with. And b'shar shamati l'cha in li karim uchsnatot. So what did you say? What did you see? I've got pillows. What did you say? Said, well, at that point, I really gave up. And I figured that the only explanation that is elegant enough to cover all of this craziness, I figured you must have just given everything to Hegdish for some reason. And like, it's all usher. Amar lo avoda kachoya. You're a genius. I swear to God, that's exactly what happened. Basically, I mean, it wasn't really Hegdish, but it was Hegdish in terms of a neder, which is a kainam. A kainam is Hegdish. Because what happened is, I've got this kid, his name is Horkinus, and I am not leaving that no good nick a dime. The guy doesn't learn, and I wanted to give away everything I own before I die so that he shouldn't have anything. And that's what I did. I was so mad. And then, after that, Kishabati Etzachavai Bidarom, they were matir the neder. They said, okay, come on, let's not overdo it. So then I had all of this stuff that I could give you. So as soon as I was able to come, I came immediately, and that's why I'm here now. And Kishem, I'm telling you right now, Kishem Shadantani Lishut, Hamakom Yadino Tchaluschut. You should be Dan Min Hashamayim, exactly with that kind of incredible belief in my innocence. Tana Rabbona. There was another mice, and this was a chassid echad. I remember chassid echad is either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Biloy, and it says there was this chassid echad, and he got involved in pidyon shvuyim, and the pidyon shvuyim was this gorgeous girl, and anyway, so they're on their way back, and he comes to this hotel at night, and so he takes the girl into his room, and puts her, he locks the door, keeps her in his own room. Nobody else is allowed to go. And then the next morning, he comes out of the hotel and he goes to the mikveh. Uh-oh. So he says, all right, guys, so tell me something. When I had this girl right there lying in the bed under my feet over there at the end of the bed, okay, what did you think? Like, you must have been very suspicious. Yeah, we figured that you feel that you don't really know us properly, and you didn't want us around that girl because you were afraid. So Shema Yesh Tamacheno Bodek L'Rebbe, you weren't sure you could trust us. Okay. And then when I came out and I went to the mikveh, what did you think then? Oh, we figured Shema Mipnei Torah Haderech, Ira Keri L'Rebbe. I mean, nothing to do with the girl. We just figured, you know, because of the fact that you were on the road, and so maybe you were Raya Keri. Amarlem exactly what happened, and atem kashem shedantuni lekavschut amakom yadino tchem lekavschut. And then there was another brisa in which pamachat utzrach davar echad letamidei chachamim etzah matrunisa echad. So the one time that the chachamim needed to talk to a matronisa. Now matronisas are, you know, these Washington political women, which means that basically everybody ends up in bed with them. It's just a nice, I mean, it's a nicer level than a straight out red light district. So Matronis is a chosh of a woman, and that's her influence. And Kol Gedolei Romi Mitzuyin Etzlam, this was one like all of the senators in Rome. This was like the famous Washington women for Rome. So anyway, she was the one that was going to get everybody on to get them to undo whatever the decree was, whatever the Chachomim needed. Anyway, so everybody got together, the Chachomim, they said, who's the best one to go to speak with this person? Amalem Rabbi Yoshua Nielech. Rabbi Yoshua says, I'll go. So he comes, he's walking with his Talmidim. When he gets to her house, four amas away from her house, he's Chorlitz Tfilav. So he takes off his tefillin at a distance of four amas and gives it to the Talmidim to hold from him. He goes into her home and he closes the door so that they can't come in. Acher sheyatza, he comes out of the house and he goes straight to the mikvah. And then he starts talking to, telling the Talmidim dinim. So then he asked them later, he says, okay, so now I want to know, when I took off my tefillin, you know, you figured, well, why was I taking off my tefillin? Aha, what am I planning in that house, right? Is that what you were thinking? No, Chas v'Shalom. We were thinking that Rebbe figures he doesn't want to go into a mokum tuma like this and be holding tefillin. That's what we figured. Okay, and when I locked the door, what'd you figure then? We figured that apparently there's something that is a Dvar Malchus that can't be known to anybody else, and you had to close the door. There's all kinds of discussions. So what was the heter in terms of Yichud or someone? The Yaivetz actually writes that there's no Isser Yichud, that the Chachomi weren't Geyser Yichud when it comes to the Hatzolah of Yisrael. This is also a big Shiloh, by the way, Legabe Esther. Esther Amalka, so what was her heter? Rav Kook has a long discussion about that also. Like, why are we taking for granted that sexual issues are suddenly canceled if it comes to the Hatzolah of Yisrael? Okay, but anyway, so this is what the Yaivet says about this. So what did you figure? So we figured that it was very important that it be completely private. And then when I went to the mikveh, what'd you think then? Oh, we figured that since the Chachomim were geyser, that all goyim have a din of zavin and zaveis. So we figured that while she was talking to you, a little bit of spit touched one of your begadim or made you turn. And we figured, I mean, you're in a place like that. Exactly what happened. And therefore, we see now three maisim that it was clear that everybody felt that the Hanhaga Ben Adam L'Chavera of Schus leads to that kind of Hanhaga Klapi the Odom. Moving on to the next piece of the Mishnah, and this is something that we've already learned a number of different times, and that is, and we're going to go through the whole thing again, so we'll do it quickly. Mifanim Truma Torah, you're allowed to move Torah Truma. Why? That's obvious. Why not? What would possibly be Muktza? No, and we're talking about over here that the owner of this truma is a Yisrael. So I might have thought that since he's not allowed to eat it, so it's muktzah. Kamash malan, given the chazila kohen, shaper dami. That it's okay. If it's mutter for one, it's mutter for all. And if it's mutter for a kohen, so then a Yisrael can move it also. Okay, and then it says you can move demai. Demai? How could you move demai? Hello, chazile. You're not allowed to eat demai. So why would it be okay to move? Because kiven diiboy mafkalei lanich sevavi oni v'chazilei. I mean, obviously, we could have said now that since you can give demai to aniim, so then it's the same thing as truma for the kohen, right? So that's true. We could have said that, said the Rishonim, but we, and in fact, the Gemara elsewhere does say that here. But we'd rather talk about it being even shaykh to you yourself. What's the problem? The space between you as a billionaire and you as a complete oni who's allowed to eat demai is about 2 seconds. So, well, if you're mafkir everything that you own, or if the stock market collapses, you'll be eating demai. Okay, better. So because of that, kiven de boy mafkir leilanichse v'have oni, and at that point it would be chazile. So therefore, it's considered to be chazile now. Ditznan. Ma'achilina ta'aniyim demai, ve'ata achsanai demai. You're allowed to feed an ani demai, and you're allowed to feed people. There's a whole machlokas. Who are achsanayim between the different rishonim? Is an achsanai just somebody who comes to visit? Is an achsanai specifically goyish soldiers that the government is being mechayev of you to feed? Or is it even Jewish soldiers? Okay, so it runs the whole gamut of those. Again, this is something we can deal with when we learn specifically the dinam of Dmai in Maseches Dmai, which we'll be doing soon enough, Bezrat Hashem. The Omer of Huna. Rav Huna said it, that actually in the Bright it says that it's a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So you should know that Beit Shammai says, Ein ma'achilin esaniyim. And if you ever see a shita that says that, you should know it's Beit Shammai shita. Or the achsanayim, and Beit Hillel says you can. Okay, next thing. And Meiser Rishon, Shenita Trumas. Well, obviously, if it's Meiser Rishon and I took off Trumas Meiser, so it's completely kosher. I mean, I understand. Are you going to tell me I'm allowed to move kosher food? Start telling me I can move Cheerios and I can move candy. And I'm going to understand. Well, obviously, says, oh, no. We're talking about a special case. And that was a case that we've discussed so many times in many different guises. And it's talking about over here that the guy went ahead and he was mocked him. His Meiser Rishon before the Truma Gedola was taken. And the reason that he did it before the Truma Gedola was taken is that you weren't chayav yet in Truma Gedola. Because remember, you only take off Truma Gedola not when you have Shibolim, not when you have the actual grains while it's still on the ears in which it's growing, but you only do it after it was turned into a kri. And that's considered to be the gemar that's b'chayev digun. It's called digun, and that makes it dagon, and that's where you take off truma. But this guy wants to give his meiser early, so he took it off before even the chiyuv of truma gedola, and then he took off truma's meiser from that meiser rishon, but he never ever took off the truma gedola. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that you should know that that is perfectly kosher to eat, even though you never took off Truma Gedola. And we have a raya from the Pasuk. V'chiyodi omer Rabbi Abo, omer Reish Lakish. Ma'aser Rishon, shigdimo b'shibolim. If you take off Ma'aser Rishon before you take off Truma Gedola, as long as it's still in the state of pre-digun, it's potter mitruma gedola. Where do we see that? Shinemar v'hare motem mimenu trumat Hashem. Ma'aser mina ma'aser. Well, why? It's saying Trumat Hashem is ma'aser mina ma'aser. I mean, we were already told to take off the din of Asirit from the ma'aser. So why does it say it here? To tell me, I'm telling you right now, you only have to take off Truma as ma'aser mina ma'aser. No more than that. Which means that the extra bit of Truma Gedola is now going to be included and subsumed within the Trumas Maaser, which is a fantastic Kiddush. And I'm not Mechayev you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo Truma Gedola plus Trumat Maaser Mina Maaser. Know that not. Omalei Rav Papa Labaye. Oh, wow. Well, I mean, if that's so, it seems to be a blanket idea. Why did you say only if you did it in the Shibolim? So then even if you came afterwards, and afilu igdimo bakri nami liftar, so you should be potter no matter when he comes. But obviously that's not true. It says over here, only if it was igdimo bakri. Oh, says Abaya. Oh, Marlays, he says to Papa, it's because of people like you that the Pusik had to add, Mikol matnotechem tarimu kol trumat Hashem. Every time you're going to be taking your matanot, just make sure you take out every last bit of all the trumas that need to be taken. So it says you got to take off truma gedola plus trumat maaser. Okay, so I mean, so how do you know that that's the point of the difference between the pre-Bishibolim or even afterwards? Well, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, hi, Idgan. The one that is already in a matzav of Dagan, once it became Chayev and Truma, you can cancel that. Vahilo Idgan. And this one you canceled, so to speak, because you took off the Truma before it ever became Chayev in the Truma Gedola. And the next thing we had in the Mishnah, and you can even carry on Shabbos Maaser Sheni or Hegdesh that had been Podui. Well, obviously, if it's padui, so then it's completely kosher and it's available for me right now. What's the chiddush? Ah, it's talking about over here, it was padui in the sense that you paid whatever the keren was, the value, but it's talking about that you were the owner and therefore you really needed to add the extra chomesh, mitzad hadin, and you're still going to have to pay that, and you didn't. So lo tzricha shenatan et hakeren v'lo natan et hachomesh. V'akamash mon v'chidish in the Mishnah is ein chomesh ma'akev. That we don't hold that not paying the chomesh means that it's not considered to be podui. The pidyon is chal, and the debt remains, but the debt doesn't change the reality of the pidyon, and therefore we don't have a problem. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful Shavua Tov. Filled with all types of hatzlocha, besoras tevas, hine el yeshuati eftach v'lo efchad. Kol tov. So wonderful to see you all.